It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's here. And yes, it's an Xbox-a-palooza. Microsoft blinked. We actually have pricing for two new Xboxes. When will Sony get into the game? We'll also talk about a new Surface. There's a rumor. Plus, a Surface event coming up next month. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly. Windows Weekly comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Securing every access point in your company doesn't have to be a challenge. LastPass unifies access and authentication to make securing your employees simple and secure, even when they're working remotely. Check out LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 689, recorded Wednesday, September 9th, 2020. Two trips to Duncan. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by Melissa. Like expired milk, 30% of your customers' data goes bad every year. That's money down the drain. Visit Melissa's developer portal for free access to data quality APIs, demos, and code samples. Freshen up your sour data today with 1,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. And by Adobe Sign. Business needs to keep moving, whether people are working together or apart. With Adobe Sign, working remote actually works. Learn more about what Adobe Sign can do for your business at adobe.com/businessmoves. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft with all about Microsoft's chief writer, Mary Jo Foley. I think you're the only one at allaboutmicrosoft.com.
Yeah, you could say chief bottle washer.
Chief cook and bottle washer.
Yeah, chief cook and bottle washer.
But it's part of ZDNet. Where
it's an employee-owned business.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Are you? That's a good question. Are you staff or freelance at ZDNet? I never asked
you. I'm freelance.
You're freelance, as every sensible person would be.
Yeah, we're mostly all freelancers at ZDNet, yeah. And I've been freelance for them for over 10 years.
Unless you live in California, in which case you'd only be allowed to write 35 articles or something. I can't remember the limit.
Yeah. You guys have some odd rules out there.
Yeah, we're trying to fix that. It was all to protect the Uber drivers, but they didn't want to. Apparently, they didn't want to be protected. Yeah. Also with us, Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. Freelancer, I'm thinking. Look at that. He's popping his collar.
My collars. I don't know what's going on here.
He's getting ready. The Tom Cruise
show you
is coming
Xbox
out.
Xbox chain.
That's what happens when you spend $8 in a shirt, folks.
Is that your Zoom shirt? He's wearing his Zoom shirt, everybody.
No, it's one of my many Amazon Basics shirts.
I confess to have given up somewhat. I wear pants that look like dress pants.
Yeah.
But they're actually sweatpants.
No, that's so not giving up.
We went out to dinner, and for the first time, I want to say, during the pandemic, I wore a dress shirt, but I wore, like, gym shorts.
Yeah, perfect.
With it.
Perfect.
My wife was like, really?
Perfect. Mary Jo, you can eat indoors at restaurants. Sometime
we can,
I think that state. I think Governor Cuomo just restaurant dining in New York City can reopen indoors at 25% capacity September 30th.
Wow, that's amazing because they were saying, you know what they were saying?
What
next year? That was they were saying next year, yeah.
So, I want to say that we have been in that capacity for restaurants since June
in Lower McKenzie Valley.
Yeah, I think that's how long it's been. June.
The Lehigh Valley since June.
No, and every other part of New York can do it already, too. And New Jersey can already do it, but not New York City itself.
Well, if it's any consolation, we can't. Everybody. In fact, what they've done, it's really bad. Everybody, all the restaurants have rented big traffic barriers,
which
they've used to encroach into the street. Yep. And then that's nice because you get to eat like in the street as cars are going.
I know.
Yeah, our favorite restaurant is on the road from Pet Cemetery where the giant trucks roll by, you know.
Nice. Nice.
I've experienced this.
Now, this is going to be a red letter day. It's a red sky day in Northern California. It's so weird. It's really the end times. And all I can think of is, either we're going to look back on this and go, wow, can you remember 2020? Wow. Or this is the beginning of the future. This is like, it's going to be like this a lot now.
Oh.
That's not good. So I'm hoping for the former. Streeteries, apparently those are called, according to PS Chops.
Well, it's very European, you know.
Yeah, but except for the big traffic barriers, which are...
Well, no, if you go to Barcelona, they literally use the same thing. They have big traffic barriers.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes they pretty it up. They have the fake outdoor plants, you know, provide shade or whatever.
Yeah. I love Barcelona. But yeah, I don't care. I'll go there. I'll be eating the ham. I don't care if I'm getting pickpocketed. I'm happy. It's okay. It's okay.
So wearing a mask.
Because I'm wearing a mask. Everybody wears a mask in Barcelona.
Yeah.
So uncharacteristically, and I do have to apologize to Mary Jo Foley, we begin the show today with Xbox news. But there is a lot of Xbox news.
By the way,
I put it at the top of the notes.
Yeah, Mary Jo was the one who started the notes today. She put it up at the top. I give her credit for that.
I did.
It's
The lack of TikTok news would normally be like the number one story, but I feel like this is this is big.
So, tell us. So there was a leak, and then there was an actual announcement, right?
Yeah. So
Brad Sam's had a leak for about 4 seconds.
Yeah. I clearly he was racing to get it out before the rest of the world did. It was out there, but. Actually, it was Monday night. Excuse me. Here in the United States, obviously, it was a long weekend for Labor Day. So Monday night to me felt like Sunday night, right? Because going back to work on the next day is Tuesday, but it felt like Monday. 10:30 at night, this stuff started leaking. Brad did a good job of jumping right on it. I Sunday/Monday night at 11 p.m. I wouldn't have noticed this,
last be in bed.
Last thing I did before I went to bed is I refreshed my feed, my Google feed, and Brad's story was in there.
Did you gasp in amazement?
Yeah, and so I'm like, oh, what's this? And I clicked on it, and my site wouldn't load. Like it actually hosed the site.
Oh no!
And yeah, so we stayed up for a little while trying to figure that out, and then. Microsoft, within, I want to say an hour, confirmed that the Xbox Series S, right, this is the other one, exists. This is something we've known about for over a year and a half now, almost 2 years. They finally, I wrote an article literally 1 week earlier that said, Microsoft, reveal this thing already. I mean, we know all about it. Well, actually, as it turns out, we don't know all about it because there's a lot of cool details about this console that just came out. And then just today... I'm really having a hard time with the days this week because of the because of all
holiday.
The holidays.
Yep.
They released more details about this thing. And I got to tell you, I am really pumped about this. Xbox Series S is, first of all, is $299. Next gen console, same CPU as the Xbox Series X. Not as good of a GPU, a smaller SSD drive, but the same type of SSD drive with the Velocity Engine stuff. Same audio, spatial sound, Dolby Atmos, support for ray tracing. The big difference is it's going to do 1440p at 60 frames all the time with support for up to 120 frames per second, which is awesome. And let me see. Actually, this is in my blurb, so let me go find this because this is kind of a cool way to think of it. Four times the performance of the Xbox One X.
Wow.
Three times the GPU performance and over 40 times the I/O bandwidth. Right. So this is the new entry level console compared to the previous gen, what we might call the current gen high end console. It's diskless. Right. So it's going to be there'll be no optical drive. It's extremely small, compared to the Xbox Series X. Microsoft says it's their smallest Xbox ever. Kind of a low bar, but OK, fine. It has a gigantic fan with a big black circle in the middle, which is kind of cool looking. It's a beautiful console, but. $299. This is a great price. And I happen to game on a 1440p display. I'm thinking this is the one for me. I mean, this is probably what I'm going to buy.
Really? You'll buy the S, not the X?
Until
you're
today.
You're going to buy both.
Leo,
don't kid anybody.
Today, Microsoft announced they are launching the X and the S on November 10th.
Yeah.
The X will be, as expected, $500, $499. Pre-orders start in 2 weeks on September 22nd.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There is an offering. We already have this today. There's something called Xbox All Access. There's also something called Surface All Access, by the way. And what these things allow you to do is buy hardware on a monthly installment plan for 2 years, right? With in the Xbox case, what you get with this now is 2 years. So it's 2 years of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, right? That's, I want to say that's, is that $15 or $25 a month? It must be $15 a month. So that alone is just kind of amazing. But the prices are great. So like an Xbox Series S, $25 per month. So you get the hardware, which you own at the end, and you get 2 years of Game Pass Ultimate.
So $10 more, you get the hardware.
Yes. Or for $20 more, right? Yeah, $20 more, you can get, or $35 per month, you can get the Xbox Series X, the high-end one. So in the span of 2 days, I have gone from I am clearly buying this one to I am clearly buying this one.
Okay. But wouldn't you want the better GPU? Or do you don't care?
Yeah.
Why don't you care?
I don't know. What would matter is a few years from now if I wanted to upgrade to 4K, right? So the differences in the GPU, there's also differences in RAM. There are other differences, but most of them are not super important. Like the Xbox Series X has more RAM, and it has the same type of processor. I think, let me just go look at my
Microsoft Zen. Provided it's just a handy chart. Slightly slower, like 3.6 instead of 3.8 gigahertz, something like that.
Let me. I'm trying to find this thing because there's some differences in cores and stuff. Yeah. So no, they're both. It looks like they're both 8-core AMD Zen 2 CPUs.
Yep.
The X is at 3.8 gigahertz. The S is at 3.6. I don't see a big deal there. Yeah, the big deal is the GPU. So it's a 52 compute units. I assume is what CU means. Both of them are AMD RDNA 2 GPUs. They run at slightly different clock speeds, but these are sort of like cores for GPUs. I'm really familiar with this term, but compute unit, I assume 52 on the X versus 20 on the S. But the GPU power, there's your big difference, 12 teraflops for the X versus just 4.
I want the extra 8.15 T-flops. Don't you? Why wouldn't you?
Of course. You never have too many T-flops.
You got to have more T-flops. And the thing is, a couple $100 more. Right now, that might hurt, but, you know, spread out over what? It's going to be 4, 5, 6, 7 years you'll have this thing? That's nothing.
I scaled them out, and I came back down the other side. I'm totally on board with the X. The other thing both these consoles have that is new information, to me at least, is expandable storage. So it's actually going to have an expansion slot in it where you can put a card which matches the internal specs of the PCIe, NVMe SSD that's in it. And that way you can put next-gen games and have all the velocity engine advantages on internal storage in two different places.
You'd prefer to do this than put an external USB drive on there for storage.
Yes, because you can still do that, right? And all your previous-gen games will run fine, but you won't get the advantages of the velocity engine stuff with the new games.
Right.
Which is like, instantaneous load, et cetera, et cetera. So
this expansion card's probably an NVMe card, right?
I would think so. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you have an NEPC. Yep. I would think so.
Interesting.
I mean, they're going to have to be certified because they have to meet certain performance characteristics. You can't just put anything in there, but there'll be, branded versions from, I'm sure, multiple companies, right? I think they announced Seagate was the company at launch, but I'm sure there'll be others.
And I wonder, there might even be third party, like with Samsung offers.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm sure we will. Yeah. The other big news here is there's something called EA Play, which in the original version of Notes, Mary Jo didn't know what that was.
Mary Jo, I'm shocked.
I'm like, EA Play something. I don't know what that is.
So Electronic Arts, the gaming company, home to such franchises as Madden and many, many others, Battlefield, et cetera, has their own online service, and you can play, stream games from the server. I don't even know if you download or stream them. I assume you stream them, but it's separate from Xbox Live, and it works across consoles, et cetera. Someday soon, it's not actually there today, but probably by the time these things launch, EA Play will be given out with Xbox Game Pass PC and Ultimate for free. So if you get that All Access bundle I was talking about, you've gone from now over 100 games, which you get through Xbox Game Pass, to over 160 games, because that's how many that they have available through EA Play.
Of course, inevitably, I'll do that. And then the game I really want to play will be $70.
So, right. So the way that works, and that's true, by the way, unfortunately, you're not going to get, if the new version
Cyberpunk of Madden, 2077 or something. Yeah, or the new version.
But there aren't some of the games that will be there: FIFA 2020, Titanfall 2, and Need for Speed Heat, and then the franchises that they mention: a Battlefield, Mass Effect, Skate, and The Sims. And those games don't actually have any new titles out for this, you know, holiday season. So those will be all of those games.
See, so give me an insight into gaming, because I had the Game Pass, and I realized I don't play more than one. You don't play more than one game. Pretty much you play Call of Duty all the time.
Yeah, you're right. I play one game, basically. So
is that common, or most gamers will play, oh, I'm going to play a little of this. I feel like most gamers are going to say, no, I'm going to play for the next month or two until I finish it or until I get bored, a single game.
So I think gaming is changing, right? So gaming to date has been people like me who just happen to be into games. I grew up with games. I was, you know, I'm one of the first generations that had video games. I was literally, I think, the first generation. And, you know, it was something like my dad could never get into. He was really interested in these games that we had, but he just couldn't. It was too late for him, you know. And, you know, my kids grew up on video games. And so my daughter doesn't play video games. My son plays video games all the time. And so it's been like a kind of person kind of a thing, I think, until now. But in the past few years, and I think this is going to explode going forward, video gaming is really spreading out to the mainstream. And it's becoming an alternative to other forms of entertainment, like reading or watching a movie or TV show or whatever. And so, yeah, today, like people like me, I stick with Call of Duty. That's my thing. I mean, everybody knows that. But no one sits down in front of the TV and just watches the same show over and over again. They watch a lot of shows. And I think having a variety...
Is gaming more like that now than it used to be?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. In fact, it's getting more and more like that as we go forward.
I don't get it, because it takes so much to master a single game.
Except that, see, it depends on the type of game. So the type of game I play, like imagine if Mary Jo was like, you know what? I am going to play Xbox. I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy the console, get a...
No, but imagine. I don't have such an imagination.
It would be the hardest thing in the world. But, you know, and any game will have some form of, you know, you have to learn the controls, you know, that kind of thing. But there are tons and tons of games. In fact, I can't even think of the name of it, so I'm going to just turn this on.
It's true. If you've played Titanfall, you could probably play Destiny. You could probably play, I mean, you're probably right. You know, Halo, you could play.
Not like shooter games, but games that are just, they're just interactive stories, right? So there is a game.
More like a movie.
There's a game called Tell Me Why that just came out. It's a three-parter. It's on Xbox. I think it's an Xbox exclusive. They released it over a period of weeks. It's, you know, a brother and a sister trying to figure out the mysteries of the past. And they just walk around and you click on things, you figure the mystery out, and you figure out little puzzles and stuff. And there's no, you know, you're never shooting anything, you're never running away, you don't have to dodge over things and have great hand-eye coordination. It's just a story. But it's an interactive story. And I think that's what sets it apart from TV. You know, you kind of sit like a couch, you stay there, you drool, you drink a Coke or whatever, and you don't really, your mind is... It's like these games will engage your mind, but they don't require you to be a gamer. They're just for people. And I think if you look through Xbox Game Pass, especially, you'll see a lot of things like that. They're interactive stories.
Should Mary Jo get the S or the X? Yes.
So if I were ever going to buy an Xbox, I would get the S, because I need the smallest possible size.
And you don't have a 4K TV.
No. Well, do I? You know, I might. I don't know.
You might. I think you might. No.
If you don't know.
Well, I mean,
it's not my TV. It's a TV that came with the apartment.
Xbox, so. Oh, the apartment's TV. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So to the point of more and more people are playing games, I would love to know how people fit this into their time. Right?
Like, that's a really good question.
What do you not do so that you can sit there for 3 hours and play Call of Duty? Like, what do you forego? Actually,
Mary Jo, that's a little judgmental. Remember, that's a little judgy, Mary Jo.
That one right over. It's fine. So, look, everyone here knows I'm extremely productive when it comes to work, right?
You are.
I write a lot. So it's not like I'm screwing off, you know. Paul's been gone for 6 days. What's going on?
No,
I remember a couple of weeks ago, my tip of the week was about reading, and it actually turned into a really cool conversation. I've blown through the Foundation trilogy since then. I'm on.
Oh, you read a lot. Wow.
I've been reading a lot. I've factored time in. Mary Jo asked me about Duolingo. I had actually dropped that for a while. I've been doing that again. I actually think that we have more time than maybe we think we do. And we have choices with how we spend that time, right? So my wife and I, we eat lunch and dinner together. We both work from home. Of course, everyone does now. And then after dinner, we go drift off and do our own things for 2 hours, basically, until 8 o'clock. Right. And from 8 to 10, we watch TV and then we go to bed. That's our, we're exciting. And, but you know, that's how we choose to spend that time.
Yeah.
I just asked her this question. We were walking the dog recently and I said, let me ask you something. When we were first married, the first 3 years of our married life, we lived in Canton, Massachusetts in this apartment. And what did we do? How did we spend our time? What did we do? Like what we must have done things like every night we came home from work, you know, I mean, I can't remember how we passed the time, you know? So I think video gaming is a choice, just like reading is a choice, just like watching TV is a choice. It's not a choice that a normal person, maybe like my wife or you, might make normally, right? No, I mean, no, because you don't have that history of this.
Right.
But it would require, like, I this game, the Tell Me Why, I think was the name of it, is a game that I've thought, I just show my wife this game, walk through a few minutes of it and say, you know, instead of watching TV one night, we could play this together, you know, and she might like that. She might not, you know, I mean, I'm just, I think the other part of the explosion of gaming is thanks to mobile, because people have phones and they're sitting there and they got nothing to do. And some people can read and some people like to read and some people just don't want to read, but they can move jewels around or, you know, go through a running course or whatever those games are. And it's just a way to pass time. Like it's a choice.
I do it by multitasking. I actually watch TV and play games at the same time.
Do you really?
Yes. Okay. So does Lisa. Yeah.
I have a, sometimes when I'm literally just playing games, I'll have YouTube going, but I always pause it during the game. But even like in a multiplayer game, there are minutes of times, many minutes that go by when you're not playing.
Yeah. Right.
Like between matches and so forth.
I'll listen to books while I'm playing a game. It depends on the game. A lot of games don't require a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what's funny though? I don't know if it's because I didn't have a TV for so long or what, but my both my sisters have said this to me. They say when TV comes on, you can't stop watching it. Like I just focus on it, and I'm like, yeah, it's true.
What is this strange magic in my home?
I don't multitask. Last night I was trying to do something else while TV was on, but I can't. Like when I hear TV, I just am like TV. You know?
Yeah. You haven't built up the immunity, Mary Jo. I haven't.
No, but even people who have TV, like I would walk into a restaurant, a bar that had TVs all over the place and I get distracted by it. You can't, you know, we're like moths. Like we can't.
Yeah.
I don't like places to have a TV going because it is distracting, you know?
No, it's very distracting to me. Yeah.
People overreacted to the phone things. But you'd have like a go over to some friend's house and his wife was like, all right, everyone throw their phones in the.
Oh, I hate that.
I know.
It's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll just handle it like an adult. How does that sound?
How about if I don't ever come back? That's how I'm going to handle it. Okay, fine.
Okay. Now, let me step back and ask some higher level questions, okay? Because another question I have about the two new Xboxes, Microsoft must be taking a loss on these, I would think, right? Because of the pricing.
Yeah. So I'm guessing on at least on the S, they certainly are for sure.
Really? Yep. Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, look how cheap that is, right? Look how much the Duo costs.
Here's the difference. Imagine you're Microsoft. Well, you know, obviously we're talking about Microsoft, but Microsoft sells a Surface laptop or something, and maybe they sell that at a loss. Maybe, right?
Yeah.
So what's the hope? Like, how do you make money on something like that? The hope is that you subscribe to Microsoft 365. Right.
But they're throwing in all these subscriptions right now. And like you get this free and that free and this free. And I'm like, OK, so where are they making the money? Or do they just think at this point the gaming consoles are loss leaders for us? And that'll maybe help us get some consumer customers that we have.
Well, here's a fact. Here's a fact from the chat room that actually confirms what you're saying. The cheapest Zen 2 CPU, if you bought it, you know, onesie twosie, is $329.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure Microsoft gets a discount for buying a million at a time, but still.
Yeah. So the way that, like, if you go back to the original Xbox, Xbox 360, Microsoft used to talk a lot about attach rate, right? And attach rate was kind of the holy grail at the time of this is how we could make money. Now, by the way, it never worked. They never made money on those things. But the idea was, if you buy an Xbox and you sell it flat even, or you make take it for a loss on it, if you buy enough games, Microsoft will get a couple of cents on each one of those things. And maybe it adds up over time where they've made a profit on you over the course of the time period you're using the device, right? A Surface laptop or Surface PC of any kind, they're kind of hoping Microsoft 365, OneDrive, additional storage, something like that. I actually think that the way they're doing this now is kind of genius, because 2 years, first of all, the 2 year where you're paying for something over 2 years, proven model with smartphones, but you're also getting this online service that goes for 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's how you rope people in. You're going to get people who might have passed even at $299, certainly would have passed at $499. And now they're like, oh, wait a minute. What do I get here? Oh, yeah. I'm going to do this. Of course I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And then 2 years goes by. So what do you have at the end of 2 years? You've got this beautiful white console and zero games, because all those games you were playing on Xbox Game Pass are gone unless you keep paying for it. And that's that, I think, is their hope, right? Or you just start buying games at $60 or $70 a pop, and then they make some money on that.
There's also the issue of the Sony. But before we get – so Sony – we don't know what Sony's going to charge for the PS5, but this is a bitter competition. And you need – as Microsoft learned last time around, when Sony undercut them by $100, that can kill you.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly right. So I was going to leave Sony till the end. But yes, there was a game of chicken going on here before with who was going to reveal pricing first. There's both Sony and Microsoft have two consoles, but there's one huge difference. Microsoft has a lower end console that they can sell for a lot less. It's not an identical console with one missing feature. So when Sony comes out, and they're probably going to have to charge $499 for the higher end one, what could they charge for an identical console that is only missing an optical disc? $449?
Yeah.
Maybe $399. I mean, there's no way that thing's worth $100. But at best, they're going to come in $100 higher. There's no way around it. Or they're going to take a crazy loss. There's a secret thing we don't know about, which is that Sony, knowing Microsoft was doing this, has been prepping a PlayStation 4.5 or whatever you want to call it. That no one has heard anything about. I mean, I guess that's a possibility. But yeah, Sony's banking on the loyalty of their fans and how well they did in the previous gen. But this is why the Series S is so explosively interesting and I think could be a game changer, not to use an overused and also a punny name in this case. Because this could change things. Not like they're going to win, but this puts them in the game, you know?
Okay, what about xCloud? Like, do you think there's going to be a bundle of Xbox Series S with xCloud?
That's already part of it. So as of...
It is already part of it. Okay.
I like that.
I think it's happening this week. So xCloud is becoming cloud gaming, which is a feature of Xbox Pass Ultimate, which you get with All Access. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. Okay. All Access is a financing program, right?
Yes.
Or no?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So Microsoft doesn't charge you any interest, right?
Yeah, so let's do the math.
That's what I was going to say. How does it actually work out for people?
Right. I didn't even do that. $24.99 times 24 is $600. Now, we know the console is $300, but we also know that the Xbox Game Pass thing is $15 a month. So 15 times... Right.
That's $240 for $299.
It's $360.
$360.
So, we're getting $660 of value and paying $600 over 2 years. So yes, there's no interest.
It's cheaper than buying it outright.
That's right. That's really
interesting.
The service is kind of arbitrary anyway when you think about it. So this is a real world cost to the a real world savings to the person who would have paid the bill. But to Microsoft, it's a negligible. It doesn't even factor, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They're not going to raise it later or anything like that. That's going to be locked in for 2 years.
They can. Right?
They lock it in.
No.
Oh, no, it's locked. Yeah, not for the people who have it already. I mean, I suppose the terms of all access could change over time.
Honestly, you'd be crazy to buy it outright.
That's what I think. Yeah, it's like, why would you?
Unless you weren't
going to
do the pass.
Now, there are questions about this, right? So when I buy an iPhone using Apple financing, or if I buy a Samsung device using Samsung financing, or I buy a Google device using Google financing, I can pay those things off early. There's no fee for that. There's no reason not to do it. And I prefer to do that rather than pay the whatever the amount is every month. Can I do that with Xbox All Access? I actually don't know. I'd kind of like to, I would rather throw extra at it every month and be done with it after some shorter period of time personally. But yeah, I mean, even if I had to, you know, go through, you know, 2 years, whatever, it's cheap.
Yep. Why?
I wrote this. It was so good. I'm sure people thought this was the goofiest thing in the world. I wrote an article about Microsoft 365 this week, yesterday. And because people have complained about like the cost of Microsoft 365, like the business plan. So the business standard is $12.50 a month. And it's like, well, if I have six employees, that's blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of money. It's like I go to the gym 6 days a week, and 3 days a week, every other day, I go to Dunkin' Donuts on the way home from the gym. And I don't get anything gross. I don't get donuts. I get like a drink, and I get a breakfast sandwich with no bread. And then I get a drink for my wife. And it's $12. So 12 times three, right? and times four is the number of employees I could be floating at my own company if I had them. If you have to call, we need you to start a company, and we need you to hire 12 employees and pay for their Microsoft 365 business standard. I'd be like, are you nuts? But if you said to me, Paul, I need you to stop going to Dunkin' Donuts every other day, I'd be like, are you nuts? I think we perceive the cost of things is kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's true.
$25 a month is two trips to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep.
But you don't get any donuts.
And he doesn't get any bread. I think it's a real rip.
That's really dumb. That's just dumb.
By the way, I live in the middle of nowhere. I walk into this place and I say, and Mary Jo will remember the story. I ask for a breakfast sandwich and no bread. And they're like, they don't even question it. When there was a short period of time, remember I had to take the ferry to get into New York. I was doing the bus thing and we had to take the ferry. So I went to the Dunkin' Donuts next to the ferry and I said, can I get a whatever the breakfast sandwich? And she goes, are you kidding me? It's like a woman. And I'm like, the heart of New York City, you've never heard anyone ask for this, like this kind of sandwich. And in the middle of nowhere, they're like, yeah, no problem.
Here we call it the Lower Macungie Township version. That's why. Yeah. No, they know you, Paul. They know you. That's why.
Exactly. They know. Here's that weird guy who doesn't eat bread. Here he is.
Yeah. By the way, you don't save any money by not getting the bread. This is all profit for Dunkin' Donuts. The
same amount, right?
Yeah. In this place in business.
So the first time you did it, they say, but I'm sorry, I can't give you a discount.
Oh, I just noticed. I you get the bill. I kind of looked at the bill. I looked up at the cost of the thing, and I was like, okay, I didn't save any money by doing this. But
yeah. So if you thought you were going to get the Game Pass, you would definitely want to buy the Xbox One S or X on time.
Yeah. So and on all access.
Because it costs you less.
Right.
Wow.
Yep. Exactly right. I know it's look, there's no such thing as a no-brainer with a purchase like this. But if you're at all interested in Xbox, I mean, this is as close to a no-brainer as you can get. I mean, it's amazing.
And I have to think this is a defensive move on Microsoft's part because, you know, they as the BBC said, Microsoft and Sony have been playing a game of chicken about announcing the pricing, right? How close can we get to the day of ordering without saying how much it's going to cost?
We are, and now what's Sony going to do?
Microsoft blinked, but they blinked in such a way that it's going to be very hard for Sony to undercut them.
They blinked in kind of a catty, coquettish fashion. They were like,
"Now, your turn, also, your move."
Paul is right about this, though. Like, Microsoft doesn't even release when it does its earnings how many consoles it sells anymore. Like that number, they don't care. I mean, they care, but they don't. It's like all they really care is how many services, cloud services, can they sell you, right? But that's all they really care.
Somebody's done.
Interesting point too, because this is creating we'll call it a generation of people or a group of people who are now going to be very accustomed to paying every month to access a collection of games, and what that's setting them up for is a future where they will just go to pure Game Pass, hardware agnostic. And Microsoft can stop worrying about making money, which they'll never do, on consoles. Like that for Microsoft, this would make Xbox make sense.
You know?
But they have to get people used to it. And I think this is going to be – they've already got 10 million. 10 million, honestly, in the scope of things is not a big number. I mean, there are 120 million, I think was the figure, 100 million certainly, that bought a PS4. But, you know, it's a good start, and I think this is going to go a long way to getting it up to the next level, you know.
Yeah.
If you had a 4K TV, you would want the X, not the S.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, okay. Mary Jo, just keep that in mind.
Just keep it in mind. Yeah.
34. Your number, the number you're looking at is $34.99.
Yeah.
Why do you think, Paul, and Leo, I'm interested in this for you too. Why hasn't Microsoft moved the Xbox hardware team under Panos and branded it Surface?
Oh, because gamers would go, what? I don't want that.
Xbox really? Is a great brand. Yep.
It's its own brand. Yeah.
It's a great brand. Yeah.
Now, I think Panos
2 years ago, I might have said that about Skype. Right? You know, it's not a it's not a Bing, right? This is a great brand. And by the way, I think Surface is a good brand too, honestly. Surface has enough of a positive aura about it. It's regarded as a premium PC brand, which of course it is. Yep. High quality products. There haven't been too many problems. Obviously, we had that one big year, but actually, I guess we had a couple of big problems. But I think overall, people perceive it very positively. But Xbox, I mean, honestly, outside of the big ones like Office, Windows, you know, maybe that's it. It's a great brand.
It's a really interesting calculation Microsoft's made. There's a great story, an anecdote in the Everything Store, Brad Stone's book about Amazon. Jeff Bezos trying to figure out what's the pricing for Amazon Prime. And they really didn't know because they had no idea how people would respond. So they thought, well, he's made up a number. And over the years, it's gone up a little bit, but they made up a number. Yeah. Microsoft, this is somewhat similar that Microsoft... They know how much they make on the Game Pass. They know how much revenue they could expect from licensing fees. They kind of understand what the cost, but they don't know fully how this is going to work. It's kind of a strategic move. They say, we're going to aim this. Our business is going to go to the cloud, and this is a subscription. By the way, Roland in the chat room, who apparently is very smart, also pointed out the stock market gives you a 2 to 3x premium on subscription revenue versus one-time revenue.
Yeah, and by the way, that is a conversation we've had with regard to Microsoft for a number of different areas over a long period of time, where what they're looking for is this regular pumping of
the stock market. Likes it. Everybody.
We had a big launch and it's huge, and then we're on the downward spiral for a while. I mean, they want it to be regulated as much as possible.
It has to add up over 2 years. You're selling the console at cost, it doesn't matter if it's a subscription revenue that you lose money every month on. That's not desirable. No.
Companies basically account for the cost of R&D and for a product launch like this at one time, but then they benefit from the revenues that come in from the subscription every single quarter. Yeah.
Plus, what is the lifespan of this? These machines are 5 to 10 years,
exactly.
Right? So the first 2 years might be a deficit. But you're going to pay off the machine, and then you're going to have another 4 or 5 years of subscription revenue, probably, right? Mm-hmm. You hope.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a business class question, really, you know?
Yeah.
How do you figure this
out? But it's the same thing. It's the same thing with Microsoft 365 and Office 365. Like, once they get you hooked in, if you stop paying, you will, lose access to features and some documents unless you clear them out and get them out of your OneDrive, right? So they're counting on you just saying, you know what? It's easier to just keep paying than undo everything. Yeah, yeah.
Here's the question. How long before all Microsoft hardware has this kind of... I mean...
Surface already has it.
There is a Surface like this, but it was a toe in the water. That was their way, I think, of measuring.
Yeah, and by the way, there was an Xbox All Access, I believe, before this as well, I think. It didn't have Game Pass at the time. So I think what we're seeing here is like a maturation of this kind of product. And so it's a combination of, you know, spreading out the payment on hardware, which just makes it easy for normal people to buy something expensive, obviously. Mm-hmm. But also now throwing in these this subscription service, which has become very valuable. I mean, like I said, you know, 10 million, you know, it's not, it depends on how you look at it, but for a product that's been around and is technically still in beta, I guess, on the PC for a year, year and a half or whatever it's been. I mean, it's pretty good. You know, the Xbox only thing
the only thing that would tip me toward thinking about this would be Flight Simulator. Like, that's the only thing I can see myself saying that would be a reason to have this and to carve out time in my night to try it.
Because you're not killing anybody. You're traveling around. You're at their skill, but it's not urgent. There's no stress involved necessarily. Right. Lou MM, like, Lou Maresca is the host of Twiet and works at Microsoft and the Excel team, has been flying around. Right before he was on Twitter on Sunday, he pretended to land at the Petaluma Airport. I didn't know you have an airport.
That's cool.
I know. And you've been seeing people who flew into Hurricane Laura because there's real-time weather in it.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. Is Flight Sim on Xbox? No.
It will be. It will be. It's so it launched first on PC. It's coming to Xbox. I don't remember the time frame.
Then you will want 4K.
Yep.
And
you
flight
want that
stick.
To look as good as it can.
And
sure.
pedals. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
when you get into that, next you can go to Forza. It's a racing game. You're not killing anybody.
But that just looks boring to me. It just looks boring.
But flying across the country in a Cessna is not boring. Okay.
That looks more fun.
Okay. No, that's the beauty of gaming.
Take a bathroom break. I just leave it on autopilot, walk into the other room.
Have lunch. You know.
Give Sriracha the controls. Yeah. Let him pilot it around.
Take it. You want to take her for a spin.
Could be hunting meerkats somewhere.
So will I go? Yeah, I'll go to Xbox.com to buy this. September 22nd. You'll be able to pre-order.
Yep.
Which is the first day of Ignite, which is bizarre.
Oh,
right?
Well, they maybe want to have a nice number to mention at the keynote, the kickoff. 1 million orders just came in.
Or, hey, everyone who's watching this virtually, guess what's on sale right now? Go get it.
Right. I think I'm going to get the X because I think I'm going to put it on my 4K TV.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, hold on. I got a text from Vote America. I got to take this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Get on that. Please get on that.
Never indicate an interest in a political campaign.
No.
Or you will be harassed forever.
Forever. Yep.
We have a new sponsor, MySudo, where you create a pseudonym with its own email address and its own phone number. And I kick myself for not using that when I contributed to a political campaign. Because then I could, it would just all be segregated in the little corner. Yeah. Constantly. And it's always urgent. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Actually, this year it might be urgent. but, yeah, sure.
Yeah. I wish there was something. They don't call anymore. I guess that's one blessing.
I'm still getting tons of spam calls from
You are? You get robocalls?
Yep.
See, in California, I think it's
a
given.
You use a Pixel, right? I mean, that should be good for blocking those.
Oh, yeah. I block them left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is me. Block.
My one real mistake, and I'm going to create my pseudo just for this. One year we went to the San Francisco Opera, and they encourage you to, you know, kick in a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
I did. And I get calls from the opera like weekly.
Yep. All the time. Right?
Years later.
See, I think the giving a little extra should trigger less calls. That should be one of the benefits.
No. It's a signal.
I don't want you to call me this year. How much do you need to get for that to happen?
When we were in Mexico some years ago, Jennifer bought they come around on the beach, lots of salespeople on the beach, and they come around and they make hats out of banana leaves or palm leaves, and you put them on. And I said, don't do that. She bought it. I said, you just bought the sucker hat. Now everybody on the beach sees you wearing that hat.
Yeah.
You go, we got a live one.
Bracelet in front of Montmartre and Paris. And
just announcing to the world. Yeah, I'll buy anything.
Buying that family dinner. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I'll buy anything. It's a sucker hat. Okay. So I'm excited. I am sharing your excitement, Paul. I want to buy this monolith.
I'm not an idiot. I don't mean like with Microsoft won, it's over. I mean, Sony's going to do great. So, and the Sony hardware looks great. It's just Microsoft was kind of an also-ran in this generation, right?
Right.
You know, one of the other stories that's semi-related to this is Nintendo just bumped up the production of the Switch again, right, for the second time in the past 2 months, because they expect to sell another 10 million units this year, right? They're going to sell 30 million units this year. Now, we don't have an exact sales number for the Xbox One, but that's almost certainly almost all of the Xbox Ones ever sold. Mm. That console launched in 2014?
Wow.
I mean, this is like 1 year.
That's awesome.
Microsoft isn't also ran in this market. So they've had to really be creative, get creative to kind of win back the base and get people over to their platform. And I think they've done an awesome job. And then I look at this and I think, yep, this is, again, not turn around and they beat Sony, but at least put them in the game, which I think is important. So it looks good. This looks really smart to me.
We'll probably get a Sony announcement soon now, right? You don't want Microsoft to own the news cycle.
I was sort of joking with Brad this morning. Like, I assume it's going to come this morning. Like, what's the point in waiting at the, you know, now?
But, right. Phil
Spencer tweeted this afternoon that their plan, Microsoft's plan, was to reveal all these specs and pricing next week. Oh, so maybe that's when Sony is thinking. Okay.
Well, but they're smart because I love this calculus. So they're thinking, all right, we got an offer that Sony cannot beat. We don't think Sony can beat this. So we have two choices. We wait till Sony announces and then we go, boom, jaw drops on the floor.
Make them look like jerks.
Yeah. Or we throw them into conniption. We announce before them. We say, and we basically throw down the gauntlet and say, beat that.
What if this forces Sony to lower prices so much that they just lose money to the degree where this doesn't even make sense?
And that's a big advantage Microsoft has because Sony, Sony's finances are not great.
Their insurance company's doing fantastic. Yeah. I don't know what you're referring to.
most of the revenue is a Japanese insurance company that they own. Yeah. So Microsoft can actually be more aggressive because they say we're going to make it up over 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Sony can, this is interesting. This is Microsoft. This is Microsoft has a big pile of chips and they just pushed them all in.
Yep.
Right.
They're like,
right.
Go ahead.
Yep. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And I guess the leak probably also. I mean, once they saw Brad.
Yeah, the leak caused
it. At this point, they said,
sure.
Okay, we're just going to do this this week.
Yeah.
Which was really smart. I want to talk about the leak for a second because Microsoft typically, when something leaks, they just give you a no comment or we have nothing to share, right? And in this case, they kind of leaned into it. And they actually took advantage of it and played around with memes on Twitter and stuff. And I'm like, okay, they're getting how to do this now, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought that would be Brad. I didn't know.
What was that? Is that like an Xbox onesie or something?
Yes, it is.
It is indeed.
That's a very happy Paul Thurrott in an Xbox. His Xbox
sleeping
jammies.
In my Xbox cocoon.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, is he happy? Oh, they did it to me. I don't know.
I don't know. There are a lot of hidden pop-ups in that dashboard.
I just pressed a button.
So with the Xbox leak, obviously it was all the marketing materials. I mean, it was everything. Yeah. And might as well just go public.
Then the walking cat, who's back, by the way, was piling on with
and
stuff.
He had been holding on to Xbox stuff.
Yeah.
That little bastard.
Because he saw what happened to him with Intel and he was probably like, do I want this to happen again?
Wow.
Into company.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We probably talked about this, but now that I'm, actually considering owning one, because, I'll be honest, Paul, I was going to go for the PS5.
But now Microsoft has made you an offer you can't refuse.
They made me an offer I can't refuse. So now I'm actually looking at this design as if, how's that going to look on my shelf?
I don't like the look of the white one. I don't think it looks good.
You know what they screwed up in that picture? If you look at it, the right one has been turned to the right 45 degrees. If you want to line it up with the other one, it actually should be turned, to the right. I'm sorry, to the left.
Yeah, you see where the X is on it. Yeah.
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 But they wanted to show off the fan.
Yeah.
That's the fan? Okay. It looks just like my old Cambridge Soundworks subwoofer.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure this is a Cortana smart speaker that never made it to market.
They're like, hey, what do we have hanging around here that we could put some Xbox innards into?
Yeah, we got this JBL thing that we never shipped.
I guess on the 22nd, I'll be
deciding.
And I think I'll do the subscription. Now, this is interesting because I'm a casual gamer. And in the past, it's always been play one game till the end and then figure out what the next one is. This is a shift for me.
I've been trying to do this, but then the other piece of news, unfortunately, is today they had the multiplayer reveal for Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. And awesome. it looks awesome.
Uh-oh.
It's going to be a big problem. So I'm trying to play other games, but they keep pulling me back in. I don't know why everything's a godfather quarter. But it is just the way it's gone. I don't know. So today was kind of interesting.
Wow.
If you care about Call of Duty, seriously, go watch this thing. It looks awesome.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take a little break because I am just verklempt with all this Xbox news. I need to pause. I need the pause that refreshes. I'm sure you do, too. So let me mention our sponsor for this part of the show. Those good folks at Melissa. Melissa knows bad things happen to good data. You got your customer list. You got it all set up. You got it all clean. You got their email addresses, their phone numbers. You're feeling good. You're sending out the mailers. You know, you're really in good shape. And then all of a sudden, it starts to deteriorate. Over time, of course, contact lists deteriorate. It's estimated about 30% of customer data goes bad every year. That's almost a third. That means in 3 years, it's all got errors in it. Duplicates, bad phone numbers, bad email addresses. Have you ever forgotten to check the best buy date on the carton of milk? And you go to the fridge, you got your Cap'n Crunch in the bowl, you're all ready to enjoy it, and you pour out the milk and you go, oh, no. Don't let that happen to your data. Melissa makes sure your data is accurate and current. You reach the right customers. You don't bug your customers with sending duplicate mailings. Or as I often get, you don't get mailings to Mrs. Helen Laporte. Don't know who that is. So somebody mished Leo into Helen. I don't know what happened. It's great. You can verify addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, names, even in real time. Spell my name right, right? If you want to keep me on your side. The problem is that customers enter data in error. You know, we've all done that. Customer service reps do the same thing. It's human error. There's duplicate records. That happens all the time. Melissa will do it. I love this. They're very flexible. They'll help you verify your customer data in a variety of ways. You can do it right at the point of entry, which is really cool. In fact, they have an API that you can incorporate into your existing point of sales product or whatever. So that as you start typing the name, it recognizes it and fills it out. That's fantastic. Customers like that. You'll like that. Fewer errors. You could purge hard to find duplicate records, uncover the duplications, maybe even merge records together. And it's really easy to deploy. They've got on-prem. They've got cloud. You could do it as a web service. They've got secure FTP processing, so you can upload the list and download the clean one. They've got every possible way, including that API. And by the way, you're not giving them, you know, I know you're giving them customer data, but they want you to know that they take that seriously. They undergo independent security audits to reinforce their commitment to data security, privacy, and compliance requirements on a regular basis. They're completely dedicated to keeping your data safe and secure. Of course, you know, that's the valuable stuff. That's the good stuff. No wonder 10,000 plus businesses trust the address experts. You can trust Melissa to be your foundation for data-driven success. They'll even allow you to add customer demographic information. So you can enter the customer record and then they can fill in additional stuff like property and mortgage data, public stuff, marital status, social media handles. And identifying current customers allows you to find new prospective customers because Melissa's got a prospect database that's really cool. Don't put up with sour customer data. Try Melissa's APIs. You can do it right now in the developer portal. It's easy to log on, sign up, and start playing in the API sandbox 24/7. In fact, they'll even give you 1,000 records cleaned for free just so you can see what a great job they do. Go to melissa.com/twit, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, melissa.com/twit. We thank Melissa so much for the support of Windows Weekly. We thank you, dear listener, for supporting Windows Weekly by using that address, melissa.com/twit. On we go. I guess the gaming news continues. Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley.
Actually, we kind of nailed most of this.
Yeah, there's some Nintendo.
I think we got all of it.
Nintendo Switch. Come on.
Well, I kind of threw that in as
okay.
Aside.
Okay, we won't make Mary Jo suffer.
He's adding insult to injury.
Biggest ever Xbox Game Pass for PC launch, right? 1 million gamers.
Yeah. It's all good.
The Dragon, right. You win, Mary Jo.
I'm interested in it. I got to say, I've actually watched videos of people flying.
Yeah. It's lights him. Yeah. I can't wait. Now that
it's
I know I can
the
play
landing
it,
that's terrible. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm pretty good at the rest of it. I can handle.
Yeah.
Do they still have the slew mode? Remember you had the slew mode where you could just skip the middle. The flyover states.
It's funny. I installed it on, and I've never actually played it. But it's my understanding is you can skip.
And as Rodney in our chat room avers, it's not a game.
A simulation? It's a
simulation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It isn't really a game because you don't get points or anything. You just
really because I'm pretty sure I don't use this thing to fly a 747.
The Navy, you may remember, tried using that kind of. Yeah. They figured, well, the kids today, they're going to want to use a gaming controller.
Plus Enders game, you know.
Yeah, and then they had that fatal collision, and they said, yeah, it's because we were using gaming controllers.
Turns
we're going
out these
back.
Things are not very accurate.
Yeah, we're going back to the old. We're going back to steering wheels. All right, we can talk about service. First of all, Mary Jo, before we get to that, I do want to ask you. I know you can't say anything, but how do you like your duo?
So we have that in the notes here.
Okay. I didn't mean to make it.
Surface Duos go on sale in the U.S. tomorrow, which is September
10th. I'm getting mine tomorrow.
Reviews, those of us who have them, will be up at 9 a.m. Eastern tomorrow.
9 a.m. Eastern? Oof.
Yep.
So your review, you've written it already. You're just going to push
my review is in the CMS right now. I've been adding bits and pieces to it, and
this is exciting. Can you say
thumbs up, thumbs down? No, I can't.
Can't say anything.
I can't say anything about using the device. It's right here, but I can't even open the screen and show it to you.
It's killing me.
I know.
It's killing me. Well, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I bought it right away in the first hour.
Yes.
So I should get it tomorrow, right?
Yeah, you should.
I haven't received any. Urgent
text. You know what? You can play the new Duo ad if you want. I put a link into that in the notes.
Okay, that'll make
There's a brand new ad.
That'll give me something.
But I want to hear what you guys think of this ad after you show it.
Okay, so here we go. This is this is a 30-second ad.
Yeah.
This is from the Surface Twitter account. Mm-hmm. Let me pull it up here full screen. So
they put up a document that had like four different videos. I wonder if this is one of the four.
This was on their.
It's like a side by side thing. Like you can do two things at the same time.
Let's play it here.
No, this is something else. Okay. You know what this ad reminds me of?
What?
The dancing
girls?
Remember
the dancing schoolgirl?
The click, click, click.
Click in.
Yep.
Yep, now you're going
to
fold
it. I get that ads are supposed to be, like, especially TV ads are supposed to be kind of like
emotional.
High level and
they're emotional.
Speed.
You're not.
But you want to know what you're looking at there, right?
No, you don't. Well, that's to get you to go, what am I looking at here?
I don't know. Yeah. I'd be like, what is this guy doing bouncing this between his fingertips and flipping it around? Like, is it a computer? Is it a phone? Like, what is it, right? I don't know.
It's a teaser. Yep.
That's why I don't make ads. But there were two other things that got posted today that are worth talking about, though,
yes.
Leo.
Yes.
So, you know, Microsoft's orchestrating this launch, right? Like, they gave us the devices and they told us we could show them 2 weeks ago, but we couldn't show anything else or do a review till tomorrow. But then today, we find out there were two publications that were given insider information so that they could write about the history of the Duo.
I hate that when that happens. Who were the two?
I think is the unfairest thing in the world because they have disadvantaged innumerable publications.
Yeah, they're picking winners. But you know what? Apple does that. I've always hated it, but
it's a big problem.
Yep.
All right. So I've benefited from this in the past. Like sometimes they give me somebody that nobody else gets, right? And Paul, I think you've gotten this too before as well. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing you have to remember when you see these or you read them. This is Microsoft's account of what was the history of the Surface Duo, right? And so if you're the person writing it, you have to decide, do I accept this account or am I going to go out and try to disprove?
This isn't journalism. This is we got inside access and we're going to say whatever they want us to say.
No, or you go to other people and say, is this true? And And so The Verge is one of them that got it. And then Protocol also got it. And I'm not disparaging people at either place, because maybe they did go out and try to say, is this actually what happened? You know, because I when I read the articles, I thought so. One of the things that's very interesting in both of those articles is the idea that Microsoft has been working on this for like 8 years, right? And so they claim that Surface Mini was the precursor to this, and then Andromeda was a precursor to this. And I have a problem with that line of thinking, because both of those devices were Windows, and this is Android, right? So I'm like, it's a pretty big leap to say, yeah, okay, we were thinking about some kind of a really small device, and then suddenly we came out with this thing on Android. So I don't know. I don't like. I know like some people.
The way that the partnership with Google happened. Here's how it happened. Right. Anyone can sign up to be an Android OEM.
I know.
End of story. So anyone.
Yeah. No. So, and so they talked to people. No. You know, Protocol got to talk to the Google person who was the main counterpart to Panos Panay, and talked about how they talked and how the teams came together. And I'm sure that there are definitely parts, if not all of that is true, but I'm sure Google also does this with other OEMs, right?
Yeah.
Like Samsung.
Yeah, no, this notion that Microsoft somehow has all these things that they've done special for Surface Duo, everything in there is just part of Android. And by the way, there were companies shipping folding and dual screen devices before Microsoft. You know, they're using Android.
I know.
It's nothing special. But it's secret sauce.
Both of these are worth reading if you are curious about what the mythology and story is around how these devices came to be, right?
Mythology is a good word.
I'm curious. I was curious about it because I was writing a lot about Andromeda, and then I was the person who wrote, by the way, they canceled it, right? And then some people said, no, they didn't cancel it, that the Duo is Andromeda. And I have a problem with that because I'm like, oh, the Duo and Andromeda are pretty different, right? Like, right. Not just the operating system.
But Mike, you understand why Microsoft would want to promote that view, right?
I do.
We were just waiting until we had the exact right product at the exact right time.
Yeah, sure.
You know, blah, 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 whatever.
And also, they don't want people to say, which people have already said, this is generation one product, because with Microsoft, it takes them 3 times to get stuff right, pretty much. And so you don't want this to be known as your first generation attempt at doing this, right?
And yet, so, it is the first gen attempt.
It is. Yeah. So tomorrow, you'll see lots of reviews all over the web early from various people who have been playing with the device for 2 weeks, which I love. By the way, Microsoft, thank you for giving people a requirement of 2 weeks instead of people holding it for 5 minutes and doing a review, right?
Although, you know, here's the thing, like, aside from kind of the fanboy type reviewers, the only problem with that is very few reviewers were ever going to actually use this thing full time as their only phone for 2 weeks.
Right.
You know,
I haven't used it as my only device.
Yeah. So. Because I'm not trying to push you on that, but I mean, that's going to be a problem because a lot of these guys are used to doing very quick reviews and probably did, and then they're just waiting to publish, you know?
Yeah. I can say I've used it every day for 2 weeks for more than just like open it, look at it, and shut it. Like I've tried all kinds of different things. You'll see that in my review.
Android 11 upgrade? No.
I haven't tried though. I haven't forced my update.
No, I don't think
I wasn't a seeker.
Right.
Yeah. After what happened with me 2004, I'm not going to be a seeker anymore, I think. So.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, tomorrow's the day and you'll see a lot. You'll be hearing and seeing a lot more about the Duo. And if you haven't heard this somehow, you can go to Best Buy's and other retail outlets, just call ahead. And a lot of them have the Duo there, and you can go try it in person if you're one of those people who are like, hey, mask up.
So you can't write about it, but if I were to go to a Best Buy and play with it today, I could write about it. I see.
You could, yeah.
It doesn't seem fair, but.
Okay. You know, I feel like the quality of the reviews, hopefully, that come out tomorrow will be different than people who get to try it for, you know, a few minutes at Best Buy.
Yeah, I hope so.
So anyway, that's all I can say about the Duo until tomorrow.
But we skipped right over the big Surface news.
I know. Yeah. So we should talk about this other Surface. Yeah. So Zach Bowden at Windows Central got a really good leak about a new Surface laptop that he believes Microsoft is building. 12.5-inch Intel Core i5 clamshell laptop. Codename is Sparty, which is a Greek town. And, you know, Panos Panay is Greek. Has to do with Sparta. So, that all makes sense. And Zach thinks this could be announced at a fall hardware launch. Like it could be a product coming out this year. Definitely meant to be part of Microsoft's Chromebook Compete strategy and heavily aimed at the education market. He said he thinks it's going to start at $500 to $600 for a very low-end configuration, like 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage. Running Windows 10 in S mode, yes, that still is around and exists. A lot of people have asked me, why can't it run 10X? Wait, let me say the 10X thing.
Yep.
It can't run 10X because 10X isn't out yet, people.
Yeah. 10X. Oh, right. Yeah. What else has a 12.5-inch screen, right? Surface Pro. You know,
And
one of the things that, one of the things that's a problem for like with Surface Go is just that it's like kind of too small. But I don't have any problems using a 12.5-inch Surface Pro with the type cover. So if you imagine that the type cover is replaced by just a standard hardware base, right? Yep. And Surface Laptop's got a great keyboard and touchpad.
Yep.
This could work great. This sounds smart
to
me.
I'm kind of interested in it. Yeah, me too. I think this is a good idea. As you all know, I like the Surface Laptop 3 a lot. I think the clamshell form factor exists for a reason. And if you are somebody who needs a real keyboard, you need a real laptop, not the Surface Pro, which for me is a no-go because of...
Or a Surface Go. I mean, that's just kind of the problem. Like this is an acceptable size. And for people who really do want that ultra lightweight, small device that they can carry, especially if we ever travel again, which will be nice. I haven't seen one. I have no idea. But I mean, given what we have several generations now of Surface Pro to work from, I mean, it's a good size. So
it is.
That should work fine.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense knowing that a lot of PC vendors are selling laptops as fast as they can make them because of people working from home and students learning from home. So why not throw another like mid-range Surface laptop device into the mix? People want laptops and Microsoft's figured out how to make a laptop. So, yeah. So then that begs the question, is there going to be a fall hardware launch for Surface? And I've heard yes. So the Duo wasn't really a hardware launch, right? It was its own thing, right? Yeah. And it wasn't even a launch, really. It didn't didn't invite outsiders to participate. But I think they're going to have an October hardware launch because this device would make sense to launch there. If they're doing a refresh of the Pro, Surface Pro and Surface Pro X, which are also rumored to be happening, they would want to have a launch event for that probably to talk about here's why they're better than the predecessors and show them off, right? And then there's also that 85-inch Surface Hub 2S, which I've heard may or may not be part of this kind of a launch or it could just launch separately. You know how Apple's trickling out their launches now? Like I think Microsoft's going to start doing that too, right?
But Microsoft has a unique problem with Surface Hub because we're not going to work together anymore.
I know.
And this is literally for in-person collaboration in a meeting space.
I know.
And maybe at this point they just hold off until next year and see how it goes. But Surface Pro. Well, they turned the smaller one into a Windows 10 PC if you want it to be. I get it.
So, yeah.
But with Surface PCs, I mean, there's plenty of things they could update. Surface Pro, hopefully take on the Pro X form factor, which, by the way, would bump it up to 13.3 inches and then leave room for a 12.5-inch inch device. I mean, that's kind of cool. Surface Pro X, I mean, Qualcomm just announced a new 8cx Gen 2 processor that Microsoft could use as the basis for their Gen 2, whatever that thing was called, SH1 or whatever that was. I guess that's H2, whatever it is. You know, I mean, there's certainly enough. I mean, the AMD stuff has gotten so much better in the past year. They would be kind of dumb not to update the Surface laptop, right? To the 4000 series chips. I mean, that makes a huge difference.
Right.
I would like to see a Surface event for sure.
Yeah. I think it makes sense. So Ignite is in like a week and a half or 2 weeks, right? actually 2 weeks from yesterday. So, you know, that would give them a lot of room between then and the end of the year to do some more events if they wanted to do that.
Yep.
Yeah. So we haven't, I should say, neither of us have received any kind of an invite. I don't know of anybody else who has for us for a fall hardware launch, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it after.
October might make more sense. I mean,
yeah, I think October, not September. Yeah. Yeah. Last year, the fall hardware event was October 2nd. I looked up when it was. So,
I think they're typically October, right, in the fall?
Yeah. Remember when we were there, it was like those little tiny tables and we were like crammed way in the back. It's where they first showed the Duo and the Neo.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the first time they had the audience, or maybe the second time. They had the audience. And it was like, guys.
Right. Yep. So that was a little tough, that launch and that event.
yep.
But yeah.
They can use the Teams presentation mode or whatever it's called to have a fake audience.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
It's good enough for the NBA. It's good enough for Microsoft.
That's right.
Damn straight.
you know what we haven't done all day? Talked about TikTok.
I know.
God, I love that.
There's nothing to say.
I signed up for it this week, Leo.
So Mary Jo, TikTok's great. So Mary Jo, last week you said, and I thought very credibly, that they would probably make the announcement at close the market on Friday because it's a long weekend, bury the news. There, I was waiting all day Friday for a news dump of any kind. There was nothing.
No, there was.
There was?
Pop with me when I went out that night just in case something happened.
Oh, you're awesome, Paul. You are committed. I love that about you.
You are, man. Yeah. No, there was a news dump around 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday by the Pentagon.
Oh, that's right. The Jedi contract.
That one came out of nowhere. Nobody was ready for that one.
Yeah. And Jeff Bezos, I love the press release from Amazon in which they said it was a corrupt deal, and we're not going to take this anymore. And everybody knows AWS is the best. Except the Pentagon.
Yeah. I know. The Pentagon. So the Pentagon puts out this really short press release at around 3 p.m. on Friday before a holiday weekend and said, you know what? We're sticking with Microsoft on Jedi. We're done.
But did you notice the interesting admission in this thing? So there were a couple. Obviously, Amazon has a number of complaints about this, but
yes, they did.
One of the ones was that the DOD or Pentagon, whatever, had miscalculated the costs of Microsoft's cloud services compared to Amazon's, and made it look like Microsoft was much, much cheaper when in fact they're not. And when they when they came up with this new announcement, they said, "Yeah, they were right. We completely screwed it up. We're still going with Microsoft."
Yeah.
they just didn't do it. They're like, yeah, it was wrong.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos is hopping mad. mad.
Yep. Yeah. They're going to dispute it legally, of course, and challenge it. And so, supposedly it's going to start in February next year, but let's see what happens with this now.
If it goes past the election, we'll see what happens.
I know. Yeah, but TikTok, you know what I think threw the monkey wrench in this was that whole thing we talked about last week, which is the Chinese government saying, we're not letting them take the algorithm. Whoever buys TikTok, they're not getting the algorithm. So if you're Microsoft or Oracle, that's what you want is the algorithm, right? Like you want that.
It might be. I mean, I don't know how you can control TikTok from a national security perspective if you don't know what the algorithm is.
I know. I mean,
Maybe I'm missing the point here.
But if you want the data, and both those companies do, Oracle and Microsoft, you also want the algorithm that helps you generate the data. Right.
To make sure you're actually getting the data that's generated. I mean, God knows what they're doing to it. So, it's strange. That could scuttle the whole thing.
I know. So technically, I believe the cutoff date is next Tuesday, which is September 15th. I don't think that date has changed.
No.
So, yeah. Here we are just sitting and waiting to see if something happens this week or Monday.
Wow.
I know.
As the world turns.
As the world turns. These are the days of our lives. Sunday.
Also, by the way, a Queen song. Just throwing it out there.
I think unless you have something else to say, unless we want to do another Xbox segment.
Oh, no, please.
Yeah, is there anything we missed on the Xbox Friday?
I think I might just pause the matter at hand and remind people that the back of the book is coming up with Paul's tips, Mary Jo's code names and enterprise picks and some beer. Let me see if it's beer. Yes, it's beer. We have some beer. But first, a word from Adobe Sign. I love Adobe Sign. It's such a relief when I get an email. And instead of saying, print this document, sign it in blue ink, scan it, and email it back or fax it to us. If instead of doing that, it just says, here's your Adobe Sign document. Click here, thank you. And it's, you know what? It's better in every single respect. I don't understand why people are doing it any other way. E-signatures by Adobe Sign are fully legal. In fact, they will meet industry-specific compliance requirements in many, many industries. HIPAA compliant, you bet. FERPA compliant, okay, yes. GLBA and more. E-signatures protect sensitive information. You can be assured they're both legal and accessible. And Adobe Sign will automatically enforce regulatory and policy rules. So you can do it with, you know, confidence. Adobe Sign has processed more than 8 billion transactions from millions of signers around the globe. Little businesses, little startups, to giant global enterprises. They all use Adobe Sign. And now more than ever, nobody wants to come into the office, hold your tainted pen and sign that document. Now more than ever, you need Adobe Sign. Whether it's requests for permits and construction planning or health services, even internal operations, human resources, procurement, IT, everybody can use Adobe Sign. It's completely automatic. It's employee-driven workflows, self-service workflows, so it's very easy to initiate and track signing processes. You can enforce deadlines. You could say, you got 3 days to sign this or we're going to withdraw the offer. You can archive final documents automatically, and you can get complete audit trails. You're going to save time, you're going to save money, and you're going to feel more confident. And you know what? And I think this is important. Your signers are going to be happier. They're going to say, thank you for making this easier on me. Legal e-signatures let you choose from a variety of signer identification methods. You can use, of course, U.S. government IDs or certificate-based employee IDs like PIVCARs or CACs. They all work. And more, of course. You get to say what the verification is. How do you verify a handwritten signature in blue ink? You compare it to the one you have on file? Oh, that's secure. Adobe Sign, I don't understand why everybody doesn't use e-signatures. Adobe Sign integrates e-signatures into everything you're already using, Microsoft, Salesforce, ServiceNow, Workday, whatever you're using. They even have an API so you can integrate it into your own custom stuff. And signers just love it. Adobe Sign, they have solutions for any type of company, from small businesses to global companies. Keep your business moving. Now more than ever, you need that. Keep your business moving with Adobe. Learn more about what Adobe Sign can do for you. Go to adobe.com/businessmoves. Adobe, A-D-O-B-E. You know Adobe. Adobe.com/businessmoves. Because why? Because business moves with Adobe. Go do it. Everybody will be glad. Everybody will thank you, especially nowadays. Adobe.com/businessmoves. Time for the back of the book. We kick things off with Mr. Paul Thurrott and his tip of the week.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I guess, when I first got the Note 20, I tested a number of things related to Microsoft, you know, Microsoft apps and Dex, which work great. And I tested your phone integration, right? So unique to Samsung for now, you could run individual apps from your phone in a window on your Windows PC. But the experience was really bad. it was really bad. And I've talked to Microsoft off the record, essentially, since then, and am now aware of a number of updates that are coming that will sort of fix these problems, including the ability to run multiple apps at the same time or stretch an app out so that it kind of turns into the tablet version of the app, which would be desirable on a Windows computer. For example, are kind of the big ones. But one of the issues you can sort of solve today. So one of the issues I had was if the phone was unlocked and you ran the app on your computer, what would come up in the window was the lock screen. It's like, well, I'm trying to run the app. I mean, isn't there some kind of pass-through authentication of some kind? And there isn't really. So for now, Microsoft is working on that, by the way. They're going to try to figure out some way for that not to be the case, because obviously what you're looking for is a seamless experience. But In the meantime, if you're familiar with the way that Android works, you know, one of the workarounds is you could use something called Smart Lock to automatically unlock your phone in certain conditions. And one of those conditions can be if it's in the area of a certain device, like a, you could use like a wearable, like a, or a computer or a, the only place I've ever really done this is in my car. I'll have the phone stay unlocked if it's within my car, right? Because we're using it for maps and blah, 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 whatever. We don't want it to lock. And like, you know, you don't want to sit there and try to type in a PIN or use a fingernail thing, fingerprint thing when you're driving a car, you know, whatever. But anyway, so the tip is if you're a little upset but that this isn't great, understand that it's going to get a lot better in the near future. But in the short term, you can also use this Google Smart Lock feature to keep your phone unlocked. However you want to do that. I tested it by trusting my computer, the computer I'm using with the device. So it works. I mean, I think the only problem with it is I noticed upstairs, I took my phone upstairs, which is a pretty far, you know, reasonable distance inside of a house, and it remained unlocked because Bluetooth is apparently big, you know, a broad enough network that it can still see the phone and the PC. I don't know. That's not exactly what I want, but anywho, you can make it better. So don't give up on it completely. I think this is something they're going to get right eventually. And then the app pick of the week is actually something I've been using for a long time. I kind of wanted to wait on this till I was completely done with this. But GitHub, as you probably know, is a source code repository in the cloud. It runs on top of Git. It was started by Linus Torvalds. Microsoft owns it now. It's a whole swirl of craziness. I've been using it to host the book, the Windows 10 Field Guide.
Oh, that's smart. That's nice.
3 years now, probably a long time, which is not a kind of a non-standard use for it, right? Because it's typically for source code, but actually it's for any files. And the reason you do this is for version control. And LeanPub, the publisher we use to publish the book, offers Git as our GitHub as an option, and that's how we use it. So I actually use Git command line tools, command line utilities to post the changes to the book to the cloud, and then LeanPub publishes it. So it's kind of a an interesting process if you're not used to this. The more typical use for this, though, is you're using Visual Studio or Android Studio or whatever source code editor or environment, and you are saving or you have a master copy of a project, which they call a repository, up in GitHub, and you're using it for version control that way. I actually didn't use it for this purpose until about, I don't know, 3 months ago. Kind of stupid when you think about it. But I put all four versions of my .NET Pad application projects up into GitHub. I've been testing it just by cloning the repositories locally on my different computers to make sure it works, and it does. And so I'm going to make those available to the public soon so that people can just download it, right, basically. And they can also edit it if they want, but I haven't done that yet. I kind of wish I had done this in advance. I just didn't know enough about it at the time, because obviously the cool thing to do would have been, as I documented each project, there could have been a slice in time version of the project that you could have downloaded. So if for some reason you came in at, you know, episode 3, you could say, well, I don't want to go and do all the code from episode 1 and 2. I can just download that version of it and I could provide a link to that. And I never did that because I'm an idiot. And then Mary Jo has a related tip.
What?
I do.
Are you on GitHub too?
I have. Yep, I signed up for GitHub.
Good.
Yeah. No, I signed up for GitHub because I realized I could see more of people's check-ins and all by joining. So I am also on GitHub, but not because I'm checking in code.
I look forward to your first submission. Your first.
Yep.
Repository.
Thanks.
When you contribute.
I'll let you guys know.
Repository. My first repository.
No, when you contribute to something, when a contribution is. No, but like you kind of like as an outsider,
I know the word.
There's a term for this. Like it's been like an outside contribution.
It's not submission. It's
You'll think of it. You'll
I hate
think
it when that happens.
Yeah, but I'll be in bed at night. I'll be like, damn.
No, you'll think of it now. Or the chat room. Will.
Commit.
Commit.
No.
It is, right?
No, but isn't it's accept it? like well, your commit is accept. Maybe that's what it is. Like you put in a commit and it's accepted by the repository owner.
Yeah.
Okay. Like you have now contributed to an open source project.
Yeah. I commit to Git.
When I do, right. I'll be the first to let you know.
Yeah.
But in the interim.
Yes.
Okay. So this was also a kind of a news dump over the holiday weekend by Microsoft. So at Build, Microsoft announced they were rebranding Visual Studio Online as Visual Studio Code Spaces. And they made a big deal out of this is in preview, and this is how we want you guys to now work with Visual Studio. If you know, you'll have your own little space on Azure where you can do all your projects and such. So on, I think it was the Monday of the holiday weekend, they said, you know what? We're going to cancel Visual Studio Code Spaces because there's a lot of overlap with GitHub Code Spaces. So as of February next year, you have to get off of Visual Studio Code Spaces and on GitHub Code Spaces. The main problem with this is there's no migration path. Like you can't just say, okay, I'm going to migrate my code space in Visual Studio over to GitHub. No, you can't do it because there's no path for doing that. So you're going to have to actually take your stuff out of Visual Studio code spaces and put it into GitHub yourself.
Oh.
So I thought that was kind of a weird, hey, surprise.
That'll happen eventually, I think.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder...
If there's other overlaps with GitHub and other things that are hosted in Azure for developers that we'll see consolidate over to GitHub.
These things take time. Yeah.
It takes time.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
And did you want to talk about, that's Code Spaces. That was Mary Jo. That was you. That was you.
Yep, it was. That was me.
Just slid it in there when no one was looking.
Sneaky.
Nobody saw. It was there.
GitHub Code Spaces. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very manual to make that conversion? Or?
Yeah, it sounds like it's a manual conversion from what I've read about it. Not that I can say I've done it, but that's what I've read.
I don't understand why they wouldn't, now that I'm a GitHub expert, I don't understand why they weren't using it from the get-go, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the common...
Things take time.
It's also common that, Google has their own thing, and, most developers use Git. Of some kind.
Yeah.
And GitHub by far is the dominant Git server. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And now that Microsoft owns it.
I mean,
it's awesome.
It works great.
And, it's funny. Way back when, I think my first book, which had been 1995 or 96, I'm pretty sure we were looking at using, it wasn't Git, it hadn't been written by then. We were using some sort of, probably Subversion, sort of code. Because that's a smart way to collaborate, and not just for code. Perfect for writing a book, because you can submit changes and all that.
I should try using it for OneNote, because I can tell you the co-authoring stuff on this doesn't work at all.
It does not work well. Yeah. But that's why the enterprise pick is very fitting, because of what you just said.
Yeah.
A nice segue into that.
Into the enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley.
Right. So you know what would make OneNote co-authoring work better?
What?
Fluid Framework. Oh. At least in theory, it would, right? Because Fluid Framework is technology that's supposed to make co-authoring much faster. And then because of that faster co-authoring environment, you'll be able to embed pieces of applications and other applications, and they'll always be up to date because of that fast co-authoring. So remember at Build, they said they were going to open source Fluid Framework? You know when they did that? Yesterday. Yep. So yesterday, if you go to GitHub now and you look for Fluid Framework, it's there. And, there are some pieces that have been there already, but they put the README up yesterday, and there's a lot more information for developers now available on GitHub all around Fluid Framework. So it's a true open source project now. And here's another little interesting tidbit Paul might find unusual. So one of the main people who was a TypeScript author, in addition to Anders, what was his name? Now I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Oh, the other TypeScript guy. Is this the guy who maintains TypeScript? I just came across this.
Steve Luco, who also was really instrumental in TypeScript, is also instrumental in Fluid Framework. And you know why? Because Fluid Framework is a set of TypeScript libraries. So there's a very interesting TypeScript Fluid Framework convergence as well. Just one of those things that make you go,
How about a code name pick of the week?
How about a bunch of code names?
Uh-oh.
So the walking cat, you know, last week we talked, he got banned.
Is he back?
He's back.
Oh, good.
He kind of altered his Twitter handle.
So the old account's gone for good.
They didn't restore it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
No, so his Twitter handle now just has an underscore in front of his old H0X0D name. So he's back. And the first thing he did when he came back was dump a whole ton of new Surface code names on Twitter. It's like, hey, let me tempt fate and see what happens, right? So he posted a bunch of things, and he said he didn't know what most of these were. He just knew they were code names. So he put them all up there, and a few people have been chiming in on what some of these are. So the Duo 2 is codenamed Zeta, Z-E-T-A. So if you start hearing about Zeta, it's the next version of the Duo. Zach Bowden from Windows Central knew that code name. Olympus is the code name for the 85-inch Surface Hub 2S that we were just talking about. Brad Sams knew that code name. And then the Walking Cat himself knew the original code name of the Duo, which I didn't know. It was Epsilon, he says. So he posted a whole bunch of other code names up there, like Olympus and Orpheus. There's all different code names. So people are trying to find them now that we know what they are.
They're all Greek. Out there Love it.
Well, yep, makes sense, right? And then there's some that are California code names. So there seems to be mostly Greek code names, but also a few California code names out there too. There's a bunch of new Surface code names thanks to the Walking Cat that are circulating.
Well, once you go Greek, you never go back. I mean, you can go forever.
Ask Panos.
Yeah. Daedalus, Orpheus, Zeus, Hercules, yeah. Arcata, Luca. Kayukos. Yep. Kayukos is not. Is that Greek?
No. I don't know.
That sounds like South American.
Sounds Greek.
Karina also sounds South American. Mm. Yeah. Hmm.
So, yeah. Our job is now finding out what all those are.
Welcome back, Walking Cat.
Welcome back.
We missed you, big boy. And that leaves us with but one thing to speak of.
Yes.
On this.
I had to parse that sentence before I understood that it was correct.
the thing of which we wish to speak. Yes. Our beer pick of the week.
Our beer pick is from Three Floyds, which is a cult craft brewery. You know, there are certain craft breweries that everybody talks about and knows, and you have it on your wish list that you want to have a beer from there. So I remember when we went to Chicago for Ignite several years ago, I really wanted to have some Three Floyds because they didn't have it on the East Coast, and they're based in Muncie, Indiana. I actually looked up how much would it cost me to take an Uber from Chicago to Muncie, Indiana.
How much?
It was too much. It was over $100. Oh, so on. I decided to instead to look around Chicago, and I did find beer from Three Floyds there. And the very first one I had is today's beer pick, which is Zombie Dust, one of their famous beers. Zombie Dust is a pale ale. It's 6.2%, but it's hoppy. It gets 100 on Beer Advocate as being a perfect rendition of the style. I see people posting on there saying it's a great summer beer. It's a great anytime beer. And the reason I made it the beer pick this week is Three Floyds has started distributing in New York City, finally. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're expanding their distribution during the pandemic, and they're going to more states. So you don't have to go to Muncie, Indiana to drink Three Floyds. Now you can maybe get it in your own backyard. So if you can, look for some of their signature beers like Zombie Dust and Alpha King. They're like one of those brewers that everybody wants to check them in on Untappd. So Three Floyds Zombie Dust.
And boy, the reviews, amazing.
I know. People love it. People it's pretty good. It. Yeah. I was happy to get to try it, I will say.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I guess if that's the beer, that means we're done.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Leo. Did you get your cocktail kit yet or not yet?
Not yet. I'm waiting for my curious elixirs. I can't wait. And my Surface Duo. Wouldn't it be great if they both came tomorrow?
It'd be pretty cool. You'd have a great day.
You know,
it would make a great coaster.
I've been searching through all my emails to see if I have anything from Microsoft, like a, you know,
I know.
Tracking.
Should we get confirmation? Yeah.
There's nothing. No tracking number or anything. In fact, then I thought, well, maybe I didn't order it. You know, maybe I thought I ordered it, but no, I see the order, but there's
maybe
no tracking
just
number.
Maybe it'll show up and surprise you.
I guess it's going to.
What does it say on your order?
Estimated delivery September 10th.
That's tomorrow. So
estimated, but there's no tracking.
I know that's a little weird and alarming.
Is that normal?
I remember with my Surface, was it the Laptop 3 or the Go? No, Surface Go. I didn't get any tracking info and it just showed up on the day.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And then it says, for more information, look in devices. But of course, I haven't received it, so it's not in my devices yet. So I don't know what. It's going to come here. So I guess I'll just wait till somebody calls me and says, your Duo has arrived. In a surprisingly small package, Leo. I can't wait. Well, we'll talk about it next week. Finally, the lid will be off. Mary Jo will be able to speak. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. That's his blog where he talks all about Windows and all the things that are going on. That's a great blog. In fact, I happily pay for the premium because some really good articles behind the paywall there. Well worth it. You will also find his books at leanpub.com, including the Field Guide to Windows 10, now updated for 2004, soon for 20H2. Can't believe it. We didn't even mention 20H2 all day today. Still on track.
Build with nothing in it. This is not right now. They're just patching it.
We also find Mary Jo Foley, as we mentioned, at allaboutmicrosoft.com, her ZDNet blog. And we gather together every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC, to talk about Microsoft on Windows Weekly. You can watch us do it live. There's a live stream, audio or video, at twit.tv/live. If you're doing that, hang out with the chat. That's irc.twit.tv. They're watching live, too. On-demand versions of everything we do available at the website. In this case, twit.tv/ww for Windows Weekly. There's also a Windows Weekly channel on youtube.com. All of our shows have their own channel. If you go to youtube.com/twit, you'll find the full list there. And, of course, the easiest thing to do is to find a podcast application. You no longer have to sync it in iTunes and sync it to your iPod and do all that stuff. You just Pocket Cast, Outcast, Stitcher, Slacker. Find a podcast application, search for Windows Weekly, and subscribe. You will get Windows Weekly now in its 13th year of operation, continuous operation. 14 years.
Florida Hotel Skip is what we're doing.
Florida Hotel Skip.
No, the floor that hotels skip, the 13th floor.
Oh, we're skipping the floor. I get it. Yeah. Nice. Or if you're Trump Tower, we just say, hey, this is episode 9,000.
Exactly. This is the best episode.
The best episode ever. 689. Thank you for being here for 689. We'll see you for 690 next week on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.
Want more Twit? Well, check out Smart Tech Today. It's at twit.tv/STT. It's the show where Matthew Casinelli and I cover everything there is to know about smart tech. It's automation. It's connected devices. It's smart home. It's all those goodies and so much more. We get the news. We get the latest devices. We do reviews. Everything. You got to check it out. twit.tv/STT for Smart Tech Today.
I was going through old clips of shows, and I found this from Windows Weekly, episode 40. Listen.
Okay.
Oh, you sat on your mute button. There you go.
No, I'm looking at my hold on one second. What do you... my son is in the other room.
In there? I could tell your son's in there.
And he has this look on his face like something has just gone horribly wrong.
Well, do you want
and
to
I look
check?
At the ceiling? No, I can see what it is. He's playing with like a gloppy ball of something that's like gooey Play-Doh kid stuff.
Yeah.
And it hit the ceiling.
Uh-oh.
And it's hanging there like a stalactite.
tell him to stand right under it.
It's one of those, he kind of got caught doing it, looks on his face.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of wish you hadn't looked at me at that moment. Anyway, sorry to get off track there.
No, I understand. I have a son too. That was November 2007. It was 13 years ago, Paul.
Yeah. So two things to that. I guess he would have been about 9 years old at that time.
Yep.
He is 22 years old and is hopefully going to graduate from college this year. And I remember that microphone because it had a little thing like midline on the thing. And it used to sometimes just, I'd move and I would mute it. But, you know, it would slip under me basically. And that happened, you know, half a dozen times maybe. Oh, I think it was like a Plantronics mic, you know, like a USB headset.
Yeah, I think it was. It happened all the time. Yeah. This was the early days. I mean, this was in the first year of Windows Weekly, so long before Mary Jo came along to
it. So that kid that threw the gloopy thing on the ceiling is a man.
I know.
He has like a Bill Walton beard now.
I know.
You know?
Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? We've been doing this that long.
It's crazy.
When I found that, I thought, oh, my God, I got to play that for Paul.
That is cool.